Flatting. And who would have thought? Flatting for the over 65s, but it does make sense when you think about it. Sociologist Dr. Kay Saville-Smith joins me. Hi, Kay.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hey, the stats speak for themselves, don't they? Times are changing.
They are changing, and actually it's interesting in a way that the stats don't always speak for themselves, because we tend to sort of load up, you know, the 65 plus year olds, you know, until you know, in their 90s or even up into 100 now, and that gives us a slightly different picture. But when you break down what's happening to each group of people as they move through their lives, it's become really clear that as current generations, current cohorts reach 65, they're less and less likely to be in home ownership. And that means they have to find a way to operate on the rental market.
Why is that?
Well, I think there's lots of reasons, but I guess the main thing really goes right back to the 1990s, the early 1990s, where prior to that we had what you'd call both a sort of, you know, crudely, a demand and a supply side housing system. So some people who could, with a little bit of help, work their way into home ownership, and there were things like capitalisation of family benefits, and there was affordable housing and housing corporation, or prior to that, state advances loans, which were to help you into affordable housing. All those investments in the housing stock and people were made right up until the early 1990s. And we got rid of all of that and we replaced it with essentially a single benefit, the accommodation supplement. And as soon as we did that, the building industry increasingly withdrew from producing affordable housing, and you know, people have gradually sort of not been able to get into home ownership, and that has increased. The problem of that has increased, of course, with overheated house prices. So house prices have risen so much relative to income that people are just struggling to get into home ownership. And so we're now beginning to reap that whirlwind.
So we'll break down those age groups, as you said, because there's a vast difference between 65 and 95.
And
so when you reach 65 and you are no longer required to work, supposedly, and you get the pension, you may or may not be in your own home. But even if you are in your own home, it's still very difficult to actually maintain a lifestyle, isn't it? Just on the pension, if you don't have any savings.
Well, I think that, you know, savings are always good. Let's not get rid of it. But all of the research that's been done about the retirement adequacy, or the retirement incomes adequacy, and particularly a very large study that was done a few years ago now, but still holds, by Waikato University, shows that, in fact, people that own their own homes, even when they have very little other income than their superannuation, their national superannuation, tend to have a higher satisfaction with their lifestyles, and they tend to have a better standard of living than those who are in rental. So rental makes a huge difference. Mm. And we've always known that, because actually we've purposefully set our retirement incomes against the assumption that we would be mortgage-free homeowners by the time we were 65. And we've known for some time that increasingly, even if you're a homeowner, that people are entering the so-called retirement age, 65 and plus, with debt, which they weren't 30 or 40 years ago in the same way. And now we've seen this really sharp decline in home ownership itself. And unlike, you know, things when you're a homeowner, you know, you can, there's discretionary stuff you can do. You might, you know, it might not be desirable, but you can choose whether you're going to do repairs and maintenance in a particular sort of way and that sort of thing. But when you're a tenant, you have to pay your rent, and you have to pay it every week. So there's less discretion about how you can manage your budget.
Of course. And so you're seeing people going flatting and living together, and that image tends to conjure up up, you know, a little bit of humour in a lot of people's minds. But that's stressful, isn't it, when you've had a life where you may have been in a family situation and then now you're forced into a flatting situation or a renting situation?
Well, I think certainly a renting situation is quite stressful, and that's partly because, in fact, the renting stock is not as good. So you're often then in dwellings which have poor maintenance, which may be damp and cold. And we shouldn't overestimate that, because there's actually a lot of home-owned houses are damp and cold. That's part of New Zealand's stock problem. But when we did some look at the house condition survey, which has been done on New Zealand houses, what we find is that only 14% of houses in which 65-year-olds and older are living are really poorly maintained, compared to 28% of those that are rented and older people are living. So people have to face up to not only the problems of potentially flatting with other people to make it affordable, but also difficulties around getting decent quality stock, and also keeping their tenancy. We have a very insecure market. Tenancies are not typically very long term, and of course older people, landlords actually like older people in general, but they also like being able to increase their rents. And so at one stage, when there wasn't pressure on the rental market, if you were a landlord and you had an older person, you really worked quite hard to keep them there. But now you have to think, oh, they're not going to be able to pay more rent. Should I be trying to get them out and get someone else in that can pay more rent?
And also, there's the issue with health problems for older people. I see that this, in the story regarding renting for older people, rates of illnesses, including asthma, anxiety and depression, are twice as likely among elderly renters.
Yeah. And that's been long-standing, and that's part there's all sorts of issues here. One is that when people are chronically unwell, their ability to get into home ownership tends to be less anyhow, because they tend to have a much more precarious position in relation to their income, paid work and that sort of thing. So you might expect, and it's true with tenants in general, that they're not as in good shape, irrespective of age, as people who are in home ownership, because they've got all these barriers. But what also happens, of course, is that particularly in council housing, which has really been the only place where older people are targeted in the social housing. State housing doesn't target older people, but council housing does and was funded for that, you get very high levels of disability. And some of that, you know, in the region of 90% will be saying that they've got a disability. And part of that is because some councils, not all, but some councils are very good at supporting their tenants. And so they actually uffy them along. They, you know, they make sure that they're able to have a secure tenancy. They try and ensure that the conditions in those dwellings are good, etc. So that's partly it. But of course, most older people rent on the private market, and even on the private market, over 60% of older tenants report that they have a disability. So, you know, the problem that comes up there, of course, is that means that those people need to be well supported through health services, and we know from the work that Victoria University has been doing as part of this whole program is that older tenants tend to not always access services. They don't always pick up their prescriptions, and it's usually around either problems around transport and or affordability. They just can't afford to.
And Kay, well, it's not looking too good for the baby boomers, but are there any solutions to this impending crisis?
Well, I think there's always solutions. I mean, I think there's one thing is that We've essentially had a huge swing in terms of the housing system. We've gone from quite a complex and comprehensive system before the housing reforms in 1990 to a very simple system where you could almost argue that we've taken the fuel out of the bus and then we've dismantled the bus as well. And so we need to be thinking about how does our whole housing system work? Because this isn't just about older people. The problems that we're seeing confronting older people is because what we're doing with young people. If they can't get into home ownership, if they can't get into decent housing, if we don't treat the rental market seriously and we just think it's transient and people are not going to be long in there, then you have a problem. So you have to think around the whole housing system. In terms of older people right now, I think there are a number of things. One is that we need to be try and diversify the places that older people can get housing support. Because older people have been broadly seen as okay housing-wise, you know, the homeowners, there hasn't been a lot of targeting of older people. And older people are often very inexperienced on the rental market themselves because some people fall into home ownership. They just don't grow old in rental. They fall out of home ownership into rental. And so we need to support those, and that's one of the things our program is doing, is actually creating some kits and guidelines. And those are not only for tenants, but also for landlords about, you know, what is it that you can do to keep good tenants and to support people as they age, and also for primary health care providers, because they're often not aware that someone's a tenant, often because it's quite stigmatized, people don't want to disclose that. And so they're not aware, for instance, that someone might have difficulty picking up a prescription or getting to an appointment and those sorts of things. And those can generally be resolved. And then, of course, the final thing is getting a housing stock that works for older people and actually for people throughout their lives, you know. It's interesting that the needs of children in their housing and the needs of older people, warm, not damp, well-controlled thermally, accessible, all of those things, they're very, very similar, and yet we persistently keep building stock which doesn't meet those needs. And we've got a building act, well, building code, which actually does not require functional, accessible housing for people as they age.
Thank you so much. That's great. That's sociologist Dr. Kay Saville-Smith. Thanks, Kay.
Thank you, Karen. Have a good evening.
You too. It's